house of the Lord. We just want to welcome any of our guests this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. As Pastor says, that you need to come three times. When you come as a guest, come three times so you can really get the whole experience. The first time you come, you might get what we call white knuckle, where you're holding on the seat in front of you so tight. But the second time you come, you're going to start enjoying it. And the third time, you're just not going to be able to go back to the cold, dead, quiet church you came from. So make sure you give it three times when you come. We also have a guest reception right down this left hallway, my left, your right, right after the service with some snacks, and you get to meet some of the pastors and connect. We have brand new connection cards in the seat backs in front of you. So if you are a guest, we would love for you to fill those out. And if you fill those out, we now have something new that we're doing. You're able to pick a donation of your choice to whatever cause you want on those connection cards. So please, if you're a guest, fill those out so we can get your donations placed and build our community. So we just are so thankful that you're here. If you're watching via live stream, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate and love you. We know you're watching from all over the place and can't necessarily get to the house. So we're glad that you've connected and joined with us there. I have too many things in my hands. All right, what are them? Okay, I got it. So, Pastor Spencer and I are writers, and what flows from the head flows down, and we have had so many people in our church write phenomenal books. I want to highlight first one of Teresa Snowman, one of our very own children's pastors. She has written one of the coolest storybooks about identity and forgiveness. It's illustrated beautifully. There's pictures in it. Lucy the Goose learns to listen. Jimmy the Turtle conquers fear. These are a great book. They are available at the book table. Get these for your children, grandchildren, neighbors. They are excellent ministry tools. Also, Kayla Keegan, Pastor Spencer, has written a 31-day devotional for boys and girls, which has a little workbook section next to each day so your children can learn how to not just read the devotional, but how to apply it to their lives. So that's another one that just came out. Again, all of these you can get on Amazon also. Here you go, Vanna. Thank you. Hold those. And our very own Pastor Patricia has written a 365-day devotional called Faith Jewels. You want to get your hands on all of these items. They're available back at the book table. So, wow, we have writers springing up all over the place. Listen, we're getting ready for one of our favorite times. Pastor and I love the Harvest Fest because Pastor makes his homemade donuts. Him and Rich will be in making donuts for everybody on our Harvest Festival night. But we need you because we need a ton of candy. For me and Pastor Spencer, it's always been our desire that when people come to the house of the Lord, they are more blessed than they would be in the world. So when your kids come to Harvest Fest, let me tell you that actually last year they said it's too much. We don't want any more candy. This is too much candy. Isn't that the way it should be? But we need your help. We need you to go this week, buy bags of candy, and bring them in for Pastor Aaron. Right, Pastor Aaron? We need lots of candy.
We need about 120,000 pieces of candy.
So that's a lot of candy. That means everybody needs to help. Everybody needs to chip in. So this week when you're out, make it a point. Isaiah's trying to rescue me. He's such a good son. So this week when you're out shopping, buy your candy and bring it in so that we can over the top bless our family. And then, last but not least, we have groups. How many of you have participated with groups? Awesome. Get connected with a group. You weren't meant to do life alone. If you have not yet joined a group, go out to the connection table right out in the foyer and get connected to a group, because, man, we just weren't created to do this alone. Let's do it together as family. Nobody should be left alone. We all get to do life together, and there's a place for every single person. All right, get connected. Pastor is going to open us up in prayer this morning.
I got two songs going through my mind this morning. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Actually, Julian, his grandson, got that stuck in his head yesterday because he started singing it. He said, Bampy always sings this song, and he started singing it. Now it's stuck in everybody's head in my house.
And then the other song is, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I do got some great news for you. I'll be cutting two singles for Christmas. I'm going to do I Got It as a single, and I Got the Holy Ghost down in my heart. I'm going to do two singles. I figure if Brother Ted Shuttlesworth can record, I can too. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to do two.
Isaiah was cheering him along, and then he was like, wait, are you serious though? Okay, now that you've got some joy going on and we can see some smiles on your face, let's stand to our feet and pray and open this service. Father, we just love you so much. We love your family. We love your house. We love that we get to come together and gather in your presence, Lord, where everything is set in order, Jesus, where everything is broken off that should not be there, Lord. Sickness has to flee. Disease has to go. Brokenness, addiction has to go. Father, you are the God of love. You are the God of healing. You are the God of restoration. Jesus, we just thank you this morning that we get to encounter your presence, Lord, and that we will be changed and transformed. We lift you up. We honor you, Jesus. We just love you so much. We glorify you, Jesus. You are awesome, God. We love you in your precious name, Lord. Receive our worship this morning. Amen and amen.
Come on up towards the altar if you'd like to praise and worship with us today.
Jesus. of us know that our God is a strong tower. All right, that was like 25% of the church. How many of us know that our God is a strong tower? Come on, just a little bit more. How many of us know that our God is a strong tower? So can you guys sing this song with me? Can you? All right. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Tower for me that I run to when I'm sick. It's okay. It's no one. We're gonna sing that again. Come on and sing that again. Say, there is a name.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
a strong tower this morning. He's so mighty. He's so worthy. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're so great. You're so great in all your ways. Thank you, Jesus. If you know this song, sing it out. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. And you restore every heart that is broken. Sing it out. Say, great are you, Lord. Let's sing that again. You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
You restore. Sing it all,
yeah. Rush out your prayer.
sing great.
Great are you, Lord. I can't wait for eternity. Join the song they're already singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Just to bow down before your throne, see your face, I'll cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you. For eternity, join the song they're already singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And just to bow down before your throne. See your face, I'll cry out, because you're holy.
Infatuated this week with YouTube, watching testimonies of people that have died and come back. Absolutely infatuated. As I've been watching them, they all have one main theme, that when they get into the presence of God, when they get into the presence of Christ, they're so overwhelmed with His love that they don't want to leave that spot. I got jealous. You know, there's a good jealousy out there. And I got jealous and I said, I don't want to wait till then to get more fullness of your love. The Bible says the height, the breadth, the depth of the love of God. Every one of us in this room, we've only just scratched the surface of how much Jesus actually loves us. One lady, she was before the presence of the Lord, and He said, I'm going to send you back. Tell them to ask and that I want to give them. But none of them wanted to leave. They didn't even want to leave. I remember Pastor Andrea told me, we were talking about Prophet, who died. Oh my goodness, how long is it since he graduated? 2011. 10 years. Wow. She said, I know if he sees heaven, he's gone. And we were there. When you see heaven, better than that, when you see Jesus, the love of Jesus. And I'm saying, God, I just need fresh love. Jesus, we need fresh love. God, we can call those things which are not as though they already are. We can walk by faith and not by sight. No deadly things shall harm us. We shall cast out devils, but the greatest of these is love. Jesus, it's something we can't provide for ourselves. We can't create it. It's only you. Father, I pray for us, not just me, but I pray for us that will truly, oh God, mess us up. Truly have a revelation of how much you love us. I'll just say it, Jesus. I need more. I need more. And I know we can't earn it. You just give it. So please give us more love. Help us understand the breadth, the depth, the width of the marvelous love of God and how much you love us individually. Someone has pain. It's in just over the left side of the ear. If you have glasses, I don't know if you do or not. Goes deep inside. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release healing into that portion for the glory of God. Someone else is having stomach problems, more on the left side of the stomach than in the center. In the name of Jesus, I command right now, Lord, the stomach to come into alignment. I curse right now, Father, even the ulcer that has started. And God, I bring peace right now to their mind and their heart, that Lord Jesus, they might live in peace. In the name of Jesus, God, we just want you to know how much we love you. We pray for all those that are watching online. Holy Spirit, I pray that if they can't get here, that you meet them strongly in their home. But if they can get here, I pray you put a desire for them to be back in the house of the Lord. Jesus, that your house will be full. God, we call in 1,000 souls by Christmas. Lord, in both services, we call it for the main campus in the name of Jesus. God, we call in 1,000 souls every single Sunday morning. And God, we give you praise. Lord, we want your house full. Someone else is having problems. It's the left side today with your hip. I don't know if it's displeasure or whether there's a break. But right here, right there, in Jesus' name, I release healing into the hip. In Jesus' name, I command the socket to be fixed and healed in Jesus' name. No longer, God, that it kind of pops out and causes pain and issue. I command it to be done in the name of Jesus. Here's a weird one about on the inside of the right leg. It comes up, if you go to the ankle, about 3 inches to 4 inches up, more towards the front, there's a pain in that muscle in the name of Jesus. As a sign, Father, that you're healing the rest of their body, I thank you that that pain is gone right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Right knee in the backside on the inside, you just constantly, it's itchy. Itchy all the time. And I just speak to the skin and I command eczema or any other skin problem right now to be gone in the name of Jesus. I call forth brand new skin for the glory of Christ. No more itching in Jesus' name. Father, you care about not only the big things, you care about the little things. That's what love really does. So Jesus, thank you for loving us. We need more. Yep, left foot, backside of the outside ankle. In Jesus' name, I command you to be healed for the glory of God. Pain be gone and cause be gone in Jesus' name. Father, we just love your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. God, give us your joy that the world will know. They'll know us by our love. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning. We have a lot to do today. But we always want to give Jesus first hand. Amen. If he wanted to take over, he could take over. I don't care. Hallelujah. Am I doing communion first? No, you're doing offering first. I just want to say how proud I am of Minister Mackenzie Coe. Smolin. It's been how many years? A year and a half? 2 years, I still call her Co. That's her brother. And Jalen's here? Hi, Jalen. Come here real quick. Why don't you hold your wife's hand?
Lord, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming so soon. Listen, guys, if you are not coming out to Rock Solid Faith, you need to be in Tuesday night, Rock Solid Faith, this week. Pastor is teaching on the end times, the rapture. It is just so important. Listen, this past Tuesday, he started going through what the Bible says that's going to be happening in the Great Tribulation. In the Great Tribulation. That's after the rapture of the church. He's going through those things. And those things are already, we're starting to see them lined up perfectly to happen after the rapture. It's already evident that these things are in place and happening after the rapture. And we are the next prophecy to be fulfilled is the rapture of the church. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And you say, why are you saying this during tithes and offerings? Because the word of the Lord is so vital in this. He talks all through his word about keeping to his word, holding fast to his word. 2 Timothy 1:13 through 14 says, hold fast and follow the patterns of sound teaching that you have heard from me. Revelation tells us to hold fast, to keep to the teachings. Acts tells us to keep to the teachings of the apostles' doctrine. Listen, because he says this over and over, because he's returning for a church without spot or wrinkle, and the church has been asleep. We've been sleeping and not paying attention. And he clearly says the story of the 10 virgins, that the ones that were waiting, that had oil, that were ready, that were obedient, that were attentive, that were expecting him to come, were ready when he came. But guess what? Half of them were not ready when he came. They weren't attentive. They weren't being obedient. They weren't being watchful. And they missed it. They missed it. I'm not going to be a pastor that didn't stand up here and tell you, be ready, be ready, be ready. And being ready isn't setting everything aside and just sitting waiting for him to come. No, it means in these times, it is so imperative for us to remain faithful to the teachings. We've got to remain faithful to our tithing. doctrines of the Word of God. We need this more than ever before. If we ever need to be walking in the supernatural, it is now. It is now. Jesus could come back before the service is even finished. But he's coming back for those that have persevered, those that have held fast, those that have kept the teaching. It's not, he's not coming back for every single person. He wants to, but we've got to hold fast. We've got to remain in his doctrine. He's coming back. So if you've ever been faithful to the Word of God, we are in a season where we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to the house of God. Get yourself to the house of God more than Sunday morning. Come on. We've got to be fed the Word of God anytime and any opportunity. We need to wake up and stop being a lazy church. We need to wake up and be the remnant that is waiting and ready and pure and holy, keeping the doctrines of God in every single aspect. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here this morning. Maybe you're watching via live stream, but we've got to keep fast to the doctrines of the Lord because he is coming back any moment. And we've got to be ready, church. So I want to encourage you to be a tither and a giver like the Word says. But I also want to encourage you, be at rock solid faith this Tuesday night. It says in Revelation, blessed are those that teach and hear these prophecies. There is a special blessing for you that sit and hear the teachings of Revelation. So be at the house on Tuesday night. If you cannot make it, I encourage you, be at the house. But if you cannot make it, at least be watching on live stream so that we are ever ready. I'm telling you, it's going to be in every message that I preach. I don't care if I'm preaching about tithing or if I'm preaching about salvation or if I'm preaching about forgiveness. I'm going to be preaching that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Because if we've ever been in a season that Jesus is coming, we're in a season that Jesus is coming. So church, let's stand to our feet. Let's get ready to give with excitement and joy. We have communion that we are going to be taking this morning. How awesome. We can settle anything that has been set off in our hearts. We can get healed in our bodies. So as you come up for your offering this morning, make sure you grab a communion cup because we will be doing that together. What a perfect time because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. All right, let's make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God over our finances because, man, right now it looks a little iffy out there, but we aren't in the iffy, we're in the supernatural. So let's declare it from Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down, they've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Receive your communion. If you're watching by Tabernacle, we always have something fun and exciting up our sleeves. And so I have the honor and privilege of introducing that today. So our pastors have left the sanctuary because we have some fun announcements that involve blessing them. And aren't we so blessed to have the pastors that we have? Amen. If you've been in this church any long amount of time, you have seen their consistency in honoring the Word of God. You have seen their spiritual discipline. You have seen their love for others. And then if you've been in this house only a small amount of time, you've seen that they have been honorable in teaching the Word of God. And that is something that you do not find in every church. Has anyone that's recently come here thought, how come I've never heard this before? I didn't know that was in the Bible. Why didn't anybody teach me that before? And in James chapter 3, it says that not all people should desire to be teachers of the Word of God, because teachers are held more accountable in preaching the Word. They have to be honorable to it. There's a responsibility to it. And in 1 Timothy 5:17, it says that we should give those that teach us the Word of God, the elders of the church, double honor. And next Sunday is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And it's an opportunity for you to bring a financial blessing to our senior pastors that have stayed the course, that have loved when it's hard, even when they themselves were experiencing difficulty. You didn't even know it, but they were standing up here bringing the Word of God with honor and integrity and power. And I've watched Pastor preach a message when he was extremely sick. He did it sitting down in a chair, and no one would have even known that he was sick. He broke his arm in the middle of a message one time, and no one knew that he broke his arm. He was stabbed by his brother-in-law in the middle of a message one time, and no one knew that he had been stabbed. Pastor Rhonda has preached message after message after message while she was extremely sick. Isn't that great that the Holy Spirit equips us for every work leading on to salvation? But we do want to honor them. So next Sunday, if you would like to bring a financial blessing for them, there will be an opportunity for that. But I have to tell you, how many of you like to party? Anybody like to party? Well, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a masquerade banquet that honors our senior pastors next Friday night. That is October 8th. And every one of you on your seat has one of these invitations. There is a QR code on that. And what you want to do is just take a picture with your phone. Like if you hold your camera over it, it'll take you to the link. You can sign up for that. It's $10 and it's semi-formal, light refreshments, and you can bring your gift to that as well if you'd like to. Are we excited to bless our pastors? Amen. So we're going to wrap this up and invite our pastors, our senior pastors, back in for communion this morning. I love communion. Please know that this is a supernatural experience. Communion is. It is not just something that we do out of ceremony or tradition. So if you need God to do a supernatural work in your life, it can happen through communion. That depends upon your level of expectation. So, Pastor, thank you for coming and leading us in communion.
Aren't you so proud of Pastor? She actually, they earned their second, is it your second Cadillac? Second Cadillac, glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be short so Pastor Cody can preach. Pastor Cody wrote these messages this whole month. You don't want to miss one of them. And so I'm going to do communion this morning, and it's going to be a little fast. How many of you know we usually do communion out of 1 Corinthians? We're going to do communion out of the book of Luke, chapter 22. Amen. The hour had come, and he sat down with his 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. And for I say to you, I do not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, "With this cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Oh, I love this one. Ready? "And behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table." Isn't that interesting? He even knew he was going to be betrayed when he had communion with him. I want to remind you of your covenant right, that you have the right to be saved. Come on now, say amen. Amen. Shout it out loud. Thank God for the blood. You have the right to be healed. Say amen. Amen. No, I didn't say he might heal you. You have the right to be healed. It's the covenant. Amen. And you have the right to prosper. Turn to somebody and say, "I thank God for prosperity." Somebody says, "Well, I don't believe in prosperity." Good, then just give it all to the church. Hallelujah. I didn't figure. When your boss comes to give you a raise, say, "No, thank you. I don't believe in prosperity. Thank you." I didn't think so. But the Bible says that you may prosper in your soul, that you get healthy in your soul. Amen. And that you'll be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So, Father, we thank you for your blood that washes away every single stain. We thank you that there's not one sin too big. We thank you there's not one sin too small. But, God, we call on you in the name of Jesus, and we declare that you have washed them all away, and we receive the blood of Christ that touches and cleanses us so we can be in your presence and be called children of the Most High. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. He took the bread, said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." I don't know what sickness you have, but you and I got to get sick of sickness. Amen. We can't just say, "Well, I guess I got it. It's my lot." Jesus paid it all. I said, amen. Jesus paid it all. This is nothing more than a wafer. It is not the body of Christ. It is a remembrance. But he said, "I am not going to do this with you until heaven." So Lord is waiting, but we don't have to. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So Jesus, pray this with me right now. Jesus, I receive healing in my body. I receive a miracle in my body. I declare in Jesus' name, there is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no maiming. There is no wounding. There are no growths. There is no spirit of infirmity. And there is no pain. In Jesus' name, I receive my covenant right. In the name of Jesus, let's partake together. Amen. While we do that, if you'll welcome me, Pastor Cody Spencer, this will be like only the second time his mother and I have sat in a service listening to him preach. It better be good.
It's because they don't. It's because they don't love me. Man, well, what a tank, huh? That thing is big. You know what we did with it too? Isaac told me that I had to show you, and I know that Pastor is gonna play with this like crazy, so I'm gonna just break the ice for him real quick. But we totally gave him a tank that opens up. So he's going to get wild with it over the next couple weeks. But I'm excited about today. I'm always excited to be in the house of God. Anybody else? I don't know. That wasn't very convincing. Anybody else? Awesome. I love God. I love the presence of God. I love the family of God. And we're going to jump into it because I want to make sure we have enough time for this. But a couple years ago, who remembers when the high school, Elmira High School, combined Southside and EFA? Who remembers the big black eye that year on the news? It was like a 20-person brawl. Anybody remember that craziness? That was wild. But I got invited to start going to the school on Wednesdays after that, and they asked me to go around the lunchroom and just kind of like keep the peace and maybe invest some nice little nuggets into kids and like make it a peaceful atmosphere. So I went for like a year and a half, and one of my old coaches actually started being an administrator at Elmira High School. And at the end of the year, I asked him, I said, "This is great. Like, I get to come around, I get to be around, but it's not really adding a crazy amount of value. Is there something that we could do that could be more beneficial for you guys rather than just being here for lunch in the room? Is there something we could do?" And he stopped and he thought about it for a couple minutes. He said, "You know what? Actually, what we've found with our students is they have really, really poor coping skills. If something bad happens one time, they get a bad test grade, they get a bad interaction with somebody, it's just gone. There's no coming back from it. It's like the ultimate, everything is done. They lack good coping skills. And I was thinking about this, and really, I think what we've seen over the last 18 months, and please, like, it might sound like this is an indictment, but it's not. We believe that at the end of this series, you're going to be fortified for the battles of life. That it does not matter what comes at you. It does not matter what's thrown at you. It does not matter what you're going through. You're going to get through it, and you're going to get through it as a champion and as a conqueror. And really, I think what we saw over the last 18 months is much of the church also doesn't have good coping skills. That when something bad happens, when something negative happens, it is all the way back to old lifestyles. It is all the way back to old ways of doing things, old comforts, old securities. And I think it's time that we make sure that whenever the next battle comes, not if, but whenever the next battle comes, that we are fortified for victory. Amen. And we were talking about as a staff, we were like, man, how could we represent this to people? And we were going to go with a Jenga set. Because Jenga, you know, you pull something out and it can stand or it can topple. But we were thinking about it, it was like, man, a Jenga set does not do this justice because Jenga sets are just kind of there for whatever happens to them. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians do see themselves that way, that whatever happens to them, that's what they're there for. They've given life to be like the third power in this world. There's God, the devil, and life. And whatever life throws at me, I just have to take. And that's not true. You know, we are not here as believers in God, as followers of Jesus Christ, to be punching bags for whatever happens in this life. And we believe that a good representation would be like a tank. That you can get hit, you can get cracked, things can come against you, and you're going to withstand it. But also, you're going to start to take things over. You're going to move forward in the things of life and in the things of God. And this is what we're going to go after this month, is how do we not only come through it, but how do we absolutely see victory in it? Here's the truth. Attacks are coming. Things are going to happen in our life. You know, we will experience the loss of loved ones the longer that we live. Jobs might be lost. Unexpected things might happen. Man, even at a macro level, that what would happen to your walk with Jesus right now if there was another lockdown? You know, if we're going to get real about it, that's where a lot of people struggled. Well, I have to be home. I have to do this. I can't do my normal. I'm struggling without church. I'm struggling without my community. What would life look like when the next bad thing happens? It is scriptural to be attacked. But it is not scriptural to be defeated as a follower in Christ. And this is where we can get excited. That it doesn't matter the attack, it doesn't matter the weapon, it doesn't matter what comes against you, that you have victory if you remain in Christ. Yes. The attacks are coming. If we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, we've probably heard this. If you grew up in church, if you've breathed, you've probably heard about David and Goliath. And we're going to come out of David and Goliath this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. And this is much more than just another Sunday school story. This is an amazing representation on how you see victory. Amen. And the position that you take as a believer in Jesus. The attacks will come. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. I'll summarize for the sake of time. What happened is there was a Philistine army and there was God's army. And the Philistine army came up against God's army and they met on two mountaintops. And when they met on the two mountaintops, this was common. The Philistines sent their great warrior named Goliath. And this great warrior challenged and said, if God's army has one man, This will be a one-on-one battle. And in this one-on-one battle, whoever wins, the other people will accept defeat and become their slaves and their servants. And Goliath stands for 40 days in front of God's armies and is yelling obscene things, is challenging them. And every single time Goliath comes out to challenge them, instead of stepping up, they run and they hide. They run and they hide every single time. And this is such a picture of what happens oftentimes in life and in when things happen to us. But we got to understand, the devil is going to try to destroy you. The devil does hate you. The devil does want to defeat you. And these attacks should be expected. This is what we need to know. Number one, the devil will try to oppose you. You just got to know, as a follower of Jesus, you have an opposition, and his name is the devil. And this is his whole resume. If we look at John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He has a resume, he has an objective, and that is to destroy God's creation and whom God loves, which is anybody with breath, and then those that follow him. His goal is to destroy.
That's right.
We can continue in Luke 22. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, look, the devil, he's going to come and he's going to try to sift you as wheat. But don't worry, I prayed for you. We know that the devil, and I don't want to make it like we got a big devil. We got a much bigger God. Don't worry, we're going to talk about it. But let's expose this dummy for who he is. He's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try to sift you, which is he's going to tempt you. He's going to attack you to see what sticks and what's really in you. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says it like this. It says that there's the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. We should expect opposition, and this opposition always tries to look big. I mean, think about this Goliath, right? Like, I personally wouldn't want to fight like Brock Lesnar. That's a terrifying thought. If you don't know who he is, he played in the NFL. He ended up going to the UFC, and he's like 6'8", 300 pounds, has a spear tattoo coming down his chest. He's just a massive man. Goliath was even bigger than that. Man, I wouldn't want to fight any Goliath that sounds gigantic. You know, not only was he big, but he's got all this armor. He's got a spear. He's got a shield. He's got all these things to look like massive opposition. I mean, the devil's not, he's a loser, but he's not stupid either. You know, he's going to throw things in our life that are intimidating. Man, he's going to throw those things in our life that are real. I think sometimes when we talk about things like this, we think about it in such like a rainbows and candy kind of way, or such a not realistic way. Man, it's real when you lose your job. It's real when your boss hates you for no apparent reason. It's real when a health issue steps into the family. It's real when it's real when people are losing their jobs over mandates. It's real, but what do we do as believers? And I don't want to see you destroyed. I want to see you victorious. And we as a church are victorious through Christ Jesus. The devil always exaggerates because he knows if we find out who he really is, nobody's going to be scared of him. You remember when you were like in grade school, normally you always had that one bully. And everybody was scared of the bully until somebody got bold enough and cracked that bully in the mouth. And then the bully's not scary anymore. They're just a little punk. Man, we got a devil who likes to look like a big bully who's just a little punk. And I don't want to glorify him. We want to expose him for who he is. That he's going to try to put a tax in your life and there's victory for you. I mean, even think about the Wicked Witch of the West, right? This giant, terrifying thing, but you pull back the curtains and it was just this weird, creepy dude trying to look big and scary. The devil is just a tiny bully who has no authority to destroy you, who cannot defeat you, but will try with everything that he has. Can we just talk about his tactics real quick? This is what he has over you. He can lie to you. He'll tell you that you're more than enough. He'll tell you that you're not going to make it. He'll tell you you might as well quit. You might as well throw it in. That it will be like every other time. He will try to lie to you because he's the father of lies. Man, he'll try to intimidate you, just like with Goliath. He'll look big. He'll look bad. He'll try to make it look like it is impossible to have victory. And you can't see out of this issue. You can't see out of this problem. You could never figure out how it's going to work. He's going to try to intimidate you. And he's going to try to manipulate you with the word. He tried to manipulate Jesus with the word. Why would he not try to manipulate you with the word? And that is exactly why you need to know your word. And you know what's actually crazy, Pastor? They did a study of people who read their Bible. They said people who read their Bible twice a week, no real life change. People who read their Bible three times a week, no real life change. But massive life change happened to those who started reading their scriptures at least four times a week. Amen. Isn't that crazy? The fourth day had a massive life change where more than half your week was spent with the word of God. There was a true life change. Thought that was interesting. But man, how do you hold up? And this is really what we want to look at today. How do you hold up when the devil's yelling, when the winds are blowing, when the attacks are coming? What's your response? Because if we continue to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says that all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, when they saw Goliath, they fled from him and they were dreadfully afraid. They fled and were dreadfully afraid. And he had those intimidation factors. He was big. He was bold. He was scary. He had the manipulation. He was calling them Saul's army, but in reality, they were God's army. And they fled and they were desperately, they were shaken at their heart by this battle of life. And if we're going to be real, I think oftentimes we get shook by things that happen. That when battles come, our first response, we know it should be faith, but oftentimes it's fear. And I'm not here to indict you and say that you don't have enough faith or yada, yada, yada. I'm here to build your faith. Man, I want to help you. If you're struggling, saying, you know what? Every time something bad happens, I know I go the wrong direction. This month, we're here to help you. Maybe you're saying, well, I fell last time. Why even care? Because this next time, you're going to be fortified to overcome when the battle comes. You know, Hebrews 12:12, I love this verse. It says this. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that the lame may not become dislocated, but rather healed. Maybe you're sitting here, well, I couldn't win the last one. I can't win the next one. Nope. Man, we're going to strengthen up some hands. We're going to get some feeble knees walking in the right path. That way it does not become dislocated. That way you have victory. That way we're not just worrying about coping skills in a biblical sense, but conquering skills in a biblical sense. Because we're not just here to withstand, and that's not just why we're fortified. We're here to overcome, and that's why we're fortified. And there's a difference in which the body of Christ can operate, not as a punching bag, but as one that moves in, infiltrates, and takes over whatever's trying to come against them. Amen. We're not hiding out anymore. We're going to start to move forward. Amen. Maybe, well, I'm really strong already. Amen. Let's get stronger. Yeah. We gave you a little sheet when you walked in. Most of you guys should have this. Emily did such a good job designing all this. Ron Lerner and the Flats did such an awesome job, and Cole and Isaac putting all this together. But most of you guys got this. And look, this pop quiz is not graded. You're good. Don't worry. Don't be mad at me. I know how we did at tests in school. But can we just, real quick, just be honest with yourself? I want to run through these five questions because really I think when we hear these things, we're like, no, I'm good. I'm good, good. But really, we really know how strong we are based upon what happened last in our life. There's this thing called cognitive dissonance, and it's where you believe one thing about yourself, but you live a different way. And I think a lot of the times we coach ourselves that we are the greatest, we are the best, that we have nothing that we can grow in. But in reality, when we step back and look at it, we can identify where we can grow. Again, this is not an indictment. I just want to see and be real because by the end of this month, where we started is not where we'll finish. Amen. And our job here is to equip, mature, and unify. And if you're saying, look, I have little faith, awesome. Let's get matured. Let's get equipped. Maybe you're saying, hey, my mouth, when things go wrong, it goes crazy. I start speaking death. No, let's mature past this thing and let's start to speak life when things don't look good. So our questions, ready? Number one, are you ready for the battle? What about your thoughts? Man, when something bad happens, do you go to fear or do you go to faith? What's your initial thoughts? Are you going to stand strong or do you just start thinking about every worst outcome that could happen? Every horrible thing that could happen in your life? Number two, because really our thoughts birth our words. What about your words? Do you speak death or do you speak life? Oh, it's going to be terrible. We're going to have this massive surgery. Oh, it's going to be horrible. I'm not ever going to get another job. No one's going to ever want to hire me. This and this and this and this. Oh, they're not going to give me a good reference. Do you speak death or do you speak life? Because if we know scripture, that there's our words have the power of life and death. Are you fortified in what you say? What about your actions? Are they steps of fear or are they steps of faith? They're very different. Fear shrinks back. Faith steps forward when you can't see what's actually there yet. You know, I was thinking about faith, and I think faith is a lot like we get an easy representation of faith because we live in a valley. With all of the fog, it's really hard to see sometimes more than 20 feet in front of your car. What an image of faith. We have such faith that the highway is going to be there that we keep driving at, some of you, 80, 90 miles an hour, not knowing what's 20 feet ahead of you, but you have faith that the highway is going to be there. Faith is the same way in Jesus. Is I might not know what's right next, but I'm going to take another step so I can get it exposed. Do you take steps of fear, steps of faith? What about number four? Your habits. Do they prepare you for the battle? Because here's the reality. If you only try to get ready when bad things happen, you're not going to be ready. Why do we send our soldiers to boot camp? Why do we send them to specialized training after? Because we don't train people in the midst of battle. We get trained before the battle. Amen. In your personal life, like, okay, this month, what are we doing? We're preparing for the battle here on a Sunday morning. But what are you doing on Monday morning? Are you praying? Are you reading? Are you fasting? Are you worshiping? Are you on the prayer call? Are you going to your small group? Are you coming to Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday? What's Wednesday look like? Are you preparing for the battles of life? Not just to endure, but to overcome. What about Friday? What about Saturday morning? What does life look like? Are you preparing yourself for the battle? Because here's the truth, and here's a hard truth. I'm not here to live your relationship with God for you. Man, I'm here to prepare you to walk with God, to grow with God, to become fortified. I'm not here to spoon feed you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm here to entice you, to teach you to do this so you can run it out on your own. And this is where a lot of people fail, is they don't prepare themselves outside of a Sunday morning. You want to overcome, it takes way more than just sitting in a chair for an hour and a half. This is a good start. This is great. But this isn't everything. And the last question, number five, is, are you prepared for the battles with your relationship with Jesus? Now, let me ask you this. Is it built on religion or is it built on relationship, a genuine relationship with the Lord? Because really, our thoughts birth our words are attached to our actions are our habits, and our relationship with Jesus is the bedrock for everything that's going to happen in our life. And while we saw over the last 18 months, many ran and hid, it's time to stop casting off what gives us our only victory. And that's faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says it like this, and this is how you overcome your faith. Man, we're not going to run and hide. When the next thing comes, when the next battle comes, and maybe you're staring down the barrel of an issue right now, it's not time to run and hide. It's time to dig your feet in. It's time to become fortified and say that I'm not throwing off what brings me victory. I'm going to stand strong no matter what it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how bad it sounds, no matter what it has to say, I'm not throwing off what gives me victory, and that's my faith. Because faith is belief that God has already won this thing. I'm not throwing off a belief that I am victorious in Christ Jesus. See, some dig in, some run. We are not a house that runs. We're a house that digs in. You are a person that digs in. Maybe you say, well, I've just never been like this. Nope, now here's the difference. Maybe you weren't, but now you're in Jesus. I never saw Jesus run. I never saw Jesus be destroyed. I never saw Jesus not have victory. And you are in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. You're a new creation. You're not. You don't do what you used to do because you are in Christ and you have a new creation. You have a new nature. You are not going to do what you used to do. It's time to dig in. This is what happened. David looked at it. He's like, it's crazy to me because all these people are running, these trained soldiers. And David shows up, who's a shepherd boy. He's like, what is going on, guys? I don't understand. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know what he's saying? He's like, who is this man that opposes God? Who is this man that opposes God and speaking against God's children? I think we need that same sort of attitude. What is this? To oppose God's child and what God has told us to do. Where do they get off? Like, you get mad at someone on the highway, but you won't get mad at the devil. You know, someone cuts you off on the highway, you're zipping back in front of them, slowing down, going off the exit, waiting at the light while it's all the way green until it's red again. I might have just indicted myself. You get mad driving, but what does it look like when the devil starts throwing something? You're like, oh my goodness, no. This is horrible, Pastor. God doesn't love me. I've been forgotten about by God. No! Dig in! The attack is coming. It's not biblical to be defeated, but it is biblical to encounter it. Look throughout the whole scripture. It is biblical to be attacked. Walls of Jericho. Red Sea. Famines, slavery. Go through all of Scripture. It's biblical to be attacked. Go to the New Testament. 11 out of the 12 apostles were martyred. They were killed on behalf of Jesus. And we're like, no, everything has to be perfect in my life. No, everything's not always going to be perfect, but you'll always have victory in everything. And this is what David said. He said, no, I have a covenant with God. I have a promise with God. I got a contract with God. I'm not going down like the rest of these guys. Why are you running? Come on now. Who's going to go and stand against this guy? Nobody. Oh, it's been 40 days. Okay, I will be the one that steps up. Yeah. While they're all running, I'm going to stand in his face. Amen. And my man goes and picks up 5 stones, and we'll talk about this over the next month. launches a stone into the man's forehead, drops him after he talked junk, which is fun, and then cut his head off and is standing with his head as the enemies are running away. Man, it's time to stop running and it's time to start sending the devil running. I believe you're going to hold victory. I believe you're going to hold testimonies in your hand at the end of this month. I think it's time to dig our feet in so we can see victory. It's time to cast off our fear, and it's time to cast off our doubts, and it's time to start to put on faith. Amen. It's time to start to stand in what God truly has for us. It's time to realize that it's not Saul's army, it was God's army. It's time to realize that you're just not another person in a church, but you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. I'm sorry, if someone comes and touches my child, you're going to catch hell. Probably from Mindy first, but it's going to be bad. And we're like, me too, I'm going to stand up for my kid. And we think that God's not going to stand on behalf of his children? Well, who we forget that he's real? You know, sometimes I think that we live like a deistic mindset on accident. What is deism? Deism is a belief that God created everything, but he's unaffected and uninterested in anything on the earth. Man, I think a lot of Christians, we live deistically on accident. That's our default, is deism. Like, well, I got to figure this out. No, your dad is here to help you figure this out. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Well, your dad's got promises about this already. There's a difference. There's a complete difference. Man, whose are you? It's time to realize that Jesus made an open public show when he defeated the devil. And I love this, man. It's not scary when someone gets beat up pretty bad. You know, everyone's like, remember when they used to talk all that junk? And then you remember when so-and-so punched them in their mouth and they ran away crying? I actually saw a fight like that in high school. It was crazy. We all went, it was winter, and we all went to a school parking lot at night. It was crazy. And this kid was talking so much junk. And they square up, and just, he got caught so clean. Like, absolute, just beautiful, beautiful punch. And this kid got punched in his face, and he was talking so much junk before the fight. He covered his face and sprinted the other direction. Like literally sprinted around the school building when he got punched in his face after he talked all that junk. And nobody ever again was intimidated when that kid said he was going to do something. It's like, all right, so what, you can run? Well, so you can get cracked clean just again? So you can go crying again? So you can go around the building and no one can see that you got beat up again? And that's what Jesus did to the devil times like a trillion. Colossians 4:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he was taken out in the way, having nailed it to the cross, ready? Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Man, Jesus made a public spectacle of the devil. And we're hiding behind someone who got punched and ran. Not anymore. Nope. It's time to realize that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's time to stand in the fact that Jesus has authority over everything that could destroy you. Think about it like this. Revelation chapter 1:18, Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Oh, an asterisk. And I have the keys of death in the grave. Not only did Jesus beat up what tries to destroy you, but now he holds the keys of sin and death, which used to have authority over you but no longer do, because he's got the keys. He has the authority over it. So why are we running when the devil has no authority? He has no true ability to destroy us. All he has is lies, manipulation, and intimidation. But yet we run behind the hills when something bad happens. Not after this month. Not anymore. You're going to hold testimonies in your hand at the end of this month. You're going to be prepared to withstand and overcome any battle that comes against you by the end of this month. I got one verse and then I'm going to end. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, and we're going to finish this verse next week. We're going to get into it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, I think it's time that the church gets fortified. Because just like those teenagers in the lunchroom that I was telling you about who needed help with coping skills, I think that we need help with some coping skills when bad things happen as believers. Man, when something comes against you, we're not throwing off our faith anymore. We're not running away anymore. It's time to stop going back to the bar when something bad happens. It's time to stop going to that website when you got a bad day at work. It's time to stop blowing all of your savings account just because you had a horrible month. It's time to stop standing strong when things in the workplace aren't going right. It's time to dig our feet in. It's time to see victory. We're not going back to what we got delivered from. We're not going back to those places, those thoughts, or those people. We're going forward in Jesus. We're not getting crumbled like Jenga towers anymore, but we're taking every hit and we're giving our own hits because we have victory in Christ Jesus. I'm looking at a victorious church. Here's what I want you to do, man, with this little piece of paper. I don't know where you started, and maybe you're saying, well, I got really bad faith. No, by the end of this, keep this. Just tuck it in your Bible. I know you brought it. Just tuck that in your Bible. And by the end of this month, I'm believing we're going to see increase on every level. Increase on every level. Why? Because we're victorious. Because our King holds the keys of sin and death. Our Jesus defeated the only thing that could defeat us before and made a public show of it. A public show. Amen? Amen? Will you bow your heads? I got a couple quick questions for you. Maybe in this room, you don't serve Jesus. If you don't serve Jesus, in reality, you are like the Jenga set because you have no promise from God. Maybe life has been crazy and you feel like everything is against you. Can I tell you that the greatest thing you can do is to surrender your life to Jesus? And not just for victory, but we were made for relationship with Christ. We were made not just for salvation, but we were made for heaven and for heaven to get into us. Man, relationship with Jesus is not surrendering everything fun that you used to know. Relationship with Jesus is heaven invading your life, which means joy, peace, love, goodness, kindness, healing, restoration, prosperity, purpose. I want relationship with Jesus because it's everything I was made for. And if that's you and you say, I don't have a relationship with God, or you used to, and you've been living a lifestyle of sin contrary to God, and you say, I just don't know anymore. I need to get right. If that's you in this room, you ready to get right with God? And I just got to say this. There's only one way to heaven. His name is Christ Jesus. There's no other religion. It's no other way. It's not sitting in these chairs. It's relationship with Jesus. And if that's you and you said, I need to get right with God, will you just wave your hand at me right now? Say, I need to get right with God, maybe for the first time, or maybe I fell off the rails and I need to get these things back in order. I want to get right with God right now. I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus right now in this room. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. My next question, we can all stand up for this. My next question, we're going to open the altar up in just a minute. Maybe you're saying, I'm looking at a battle right now and I don't want to wait till the end of the month. Why wait? Man, let's have victory now and learn how to walk in victory in the future. But if you're standing and saying, I'm looking at a battle right now, will you wave your hand? Say, I'm looking at a battle. I need a victory in my life. I'm looking at something that's not too pretty, not too fun. Amen. Here's what I want you to do. On the count of, when after I'm done praying, if you raise your hand, you say, I need some victory, or you raise your hand, I saw your hand in the back, and I said, I need salvation. If you need salvation and you raise your hand for salvation right here in the front, Mindy's up here, she's going to pray with you. And if you're saying, I need victory, we're going to have a line of our prayer team right across the front. We want to lay hands on you. We want to agree for victory in your life. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? I'm looking at a victorious church. I'm looking at a fortified church. I'm not looking at people that are going to get beat up and beat down. I'm looking at people that are going to walk in victory. Can we just go ahead and lift our hands? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, victory in our lives. Lord, we're not here to get beat up and beat down, but we're here to see the fullness of your promises in our life. So, Father, I pray, those of us in this room that are looking and saying, I got weak faith, I pray that you would increase our faith. Father, those of us that are looking at problems and we're not sure how to get out, I pray you would give us divine and clear direction. Lord, those of us with impossible situations, show up in our life and do what only you could do. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you love him, can I hear the loudest amen you've ever let out of your mouth before? Amen. Here's what we're going to do. If you need prayer, we're going to be right here at the front. You can come and meet us right now. If you need salvation, Mindy is right here. She wants to pray with you and get you a Bible. If this is one of your first times or you feel disconnected, right over on this side of the church, we have a connect room, and we would love to get to know you for just a couple minutes over on this side. We love you guys. We'll see you for Rock Solid Faith, and then we'll see you Friday night for Pastor's Appreciation Banquet. Have a good night, guys.